So today's guest, M, and could you introduce about yourself?
I just graduated from the Library Sciences program here at University of Illinois, and while I was still in school, I started a practicum where I was cataloging the zines for the zine library, and so I learned about the zine library, and I've always liked zines, so I started doing making an online catalog so that if people wanted to borrow things or look for things, they'd have a tool, and it's still in progress. I haven't finished it, but it's an ongoing, ongoing project, and so I started it as a class project, but then now I've graduated, and now it's just... I'm just doing it for fun. Now I just, you know, I'm part of the library now, so I am sticking it out.
Brotherly, you worked with the library in the IMC.
Yeah, and so we've done some events where we brought zines from the library to the university to talk to new students, and so that they would know as incoming librarians and, you know, that there are these other collections they can work with, things that are different, that are maybe not the usual academic or public libraries that they're used to seeing.
That's amazing. In Japan, probably we don't have such kind of class about zines, but here you can learn about zine in university. Oh, really?
There are big, I believe it's Barnard University has a huge zine collection that's part of their academic library, and it's very well cared for, and it's an important part of their collection. They consider it sort of a people's history and a public archive that's really important to their collection, and we've actually used a lot of their processes and documentation in getting our library organized because they're such a good example.
But zine is popular in U.S. It is handmade, and now it's more people use the social network service and SNS, and so zine is not out of date?
I don't think so. I think so. Zines first started getting really popular around the same time. I would say, well, zines have existed in one form or another for, you know, decades and decades, and some would even, some would argue centuries, but, you know, depends on who you ask. But I think in the public consciousness, they sort of started being popular in the 60s and 70s as people started wanting to share their thoughts about different pop culture movements.
So, with rock and roll sometimes.
Yeah. And so sometimes it was about, you know, punk rock music. That was a big zine topic for a long time. A lot of people consider the very first zine to be one that was about a romance that was in Star Trek. And so it was sort of tied to these, like, pop culture criticisms and ideas that people had, and then they wanted to share those ideas, but, you know, no one was telling those stories on TV or in their music, so people started doing it themselves and sharing them around. And now I think there's still, even though we have online access to things like that where people can publish and tell their own stories and share those thoughts around, I think a lot of people still really value having a physical artifact that they can interact with and share around. And especially when it comes to art zines and people who are sharing drawings and different kinds of art that they're making, that's a lot more difficult, I think, to convey on a computer screen. So having something that you can look at and you can see those fine details is really crucial.
So do you have any opportunities, such kind of art thing or other thing, to touch by yourself? The internet is easier to exchange information.
Yeah, absolutely.
But to know to watch things by yourself, what kind of opportunity do you have? Like some gene fair or workshop?
The first time I got to find zines in person in my real life was actually at concerts. I would go to punk shows, and they would have zines that they made either to go with their albums, or maybe it was just something that, you know, one of their buddies made, and so they were selling it at the merch table with their, you know, t-shirts or whatever. And so that was where I first started seeing them, and I thought, oh, these are so cool. And then there was a coffee shop where I lived where people would, they had a bookshelf that was all local, whatever, whether it was locally published books or pamphlets or zines. And so they would have tons of zines there that were just made by local people. And it was a little bit like the zine library here, but even less formal. Yeah. But I think probably in a lot of towns of a certain size, there might be something like that. There might be some place that has that sort of little public archive, that little niche where they do gather up market, those things. Yeah. Yes, it's a unique population, but we're committed. And so I think, but I think in smaller towns, it can be really hard to get your hands on that stuff. And so, but I think that's where you run into things like workshops, like you were mentioning, where people really do have to come together and encourage each other to work on things and collaborate or things like that. And I've noticed as I've been working here that I've found more and more big zine events that are happening in different towns where people have great big meetups, and they'll rent out a building, and everyone comes, and they give talks, and they have guests, and they do, you know, workshops all day, and you can buy and sell and swap zines with all your friends and meet other people who make them, and it's almost like a Comic-Con, but just for zines, and it's really cool. They're really fun.
Did you visit such kind of zine?
I've gotten to go to one zine fest, and it was in Chicago, and it was really big, and it was really fun. But Chicago's a big city, and they have a really great DIY community there, and a lot of people really committed to, like you said, independent media and grassroots media, and so it was really fun to see people coming at it from all sorts of different angles. There were people, teenagers there, who were there making cool new stuff, and there were old folks there who'd been doing it for 50 years, and it was so cool to see all these different perspectives.
Teenager also, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, so beyond the generation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I remember the Gene Fest, even in the not big, in the IMC several years ago, they have. At that time also, in London also, the person who come to the zine or sell zine, they start conversation, chatting each other through the zine and the experience. That's great, not only to sell and buy zine, but also...
Yeah, one of my favorite things in a lot of zines is they'll thank the makers of other zines that helped inspire their work. And then it's helpful for me as a reader because then I know, oh, I should check that one out next. But it's also just really neat to see where their inspiration and their influences are coming from. And I think sometimes when you read, say, like a published book, you don't really get that. They don't say... you know, these are all the things I read that gave me this idea. But in zines, people do that all the time. It's really neat. Yeah.
Share skills and ideas.
Yeah.
And zines. And
so fun.
So you also making zines? You also making
zines? I do. I haven't made one in a little while. But I have a friend. I'm from West Virginia originally. And so I have a friend back there who we work on some zines together. We're working on one right now. And we've made one together in the past. And then I used to make them just by myself all the time. Like I think I was telling you earlier, one of my best friend's birthdays was a while back. And so I made a zine just for her of all her favorite things.
That's a great is only one Zin in this world.
It's the only one. I'm going to make a copy so that we can have it at the library because I think that, you know, our friendship can be universal. Maybe other people will want to read about it.
So now you are involved in this Zin library activities. So in this Zin library, it means in the Independent Media Center, what kind of Zin do you have?
We have so many different kinds. I would say the two biggest parts of our collection are the perzines, so personal zines. And some people will say that every zine is a personal zine, which is a little bit true. And then we also have a whole bunch of political zines. And those are political politics of all stripes. We have international politics. We have very small-scale local political issues, all kinds of things. But then we have art zines. We have comics. We have music zines. We have fan zines, so zines that are about different TV shows or other comic books or that sort of thing. And we also have lots and lots of music zines. Because that was such a big influence on the scene itself, on zines getting out there, was through music shows and through music writing.
In Japan also, the comic zines and the parzin. Parzin also now more people write about their own stories. And
make comics and about their life.
And also... And indeed, in my class in university, sometimes students make zine, but they love to draw by themselves, by hand. So that's a zine. I love zines not only for by writing, more drawing. So or use some sticker on some creative.
It's such a fun way, I think, to tell stories and express yourself because. People get stuck in this idea, you know, if I asked someone to make me a comic book, they would say, well, I don't know how to draw, I'm not a very good storyteller, I wouldn't know how to write. But if you say, okay, just make me a zine, they may write comics without even realizing they just wrote a comic because they just wanted to draw the characters and write what they were saying. And then, you know, and they can use... They don't have to make everything all on their own. You know, it's that collaborative element where, like you said, they can use stickers or they can cut things out of magazines and put those in. It doesn't have to be all straight from their own brain, and they can be honest about using things from other places and mixing everything up. But then they make it their own thing by doing that.
So any person can do your own way.
Yeah, just a zine. There's no wrong way.
So do you have any workshop in the library or?
We at the public library here we have had a couple of zine making workshops that have been pretty successful.
Really?
They haven't been very huge big groups, but I think sometimes it's a little better to work with a small manageable group, and people seem to really enjoy sharing their ideas that way. And then plus they're sharing materials, so there's that. Connection of, oh, will you pass me those markers? Or, oh, I was going to use that sticker too. Do you think it looks okay? You know, what do you think? And, you know, talking about their ideas. And especially because some people are writing about really personal stuff, and to see them just open up about it and say, you know, oh, I'm making a zine about my, you know, my chronic illness or whatever it might be. And they're just opening up to this small group with no... hesitation because we're all making something together. And so that's always really fun to watch. And then we are also preparing to do a zine workshop at the local county jail and to work with some of the prisoners there. And that's something that we have had success with in the past, but it's been a long time since we tried it again. But we have a pretty good relationship with the people who work at the jail. So we're hoping to go there and help the prisoners make their own zines.
That's very interesting. Then the, if you have some workshop, please give us the information.
Of course.
We want to share that kind of...
Yes, that would be wonderful. Yeah.
So today, arigatou gozaimasu. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Harukana show. Thank you. Thanks.